beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, happened just as it was written about in the prophecy of Isaiah. Look, I am sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way, a voice shouting in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his paths straight. John the Baptist was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, "One stronger than I am is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend down and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit."
I think we really missed an opportunity this year. Like to really mess with people, offer a little humor and hope at the same time. If ever there was a year to stand on a street corner with a cardboard sign that simply read, "The end is not near," 2020 would have been it. Can you imagine the looks? People wouldn't have known what to do with themselves. I mean, this is the one year all the folks who usually look with suspicion on the "end is near" signs would have looked at an "end is near" sign and been like, you know, that could be, but the end is not near. That's the one that's confusing me this time. Though I do worry about a few mixed messages with the "end is not near." Because there are some things we want to be ending, while there's big picture things we don't want to. I mean, I think about isolation and illness. We want those things to be over. We want that end to be near. We want only online worship, remote learning, and seeing loved ones only on screens. We want that to be near an end. I once again take solace in the hopeful words of Dwayne the Donkey. We will see each other again soon. And yeah, though it did feel sometimes this year like the world was going to end, the world is not ending. Though the world as we knew it has been forever changed. And if everything will be different, we need to ask ourselves, what will we do with this moment of reset? While we seek to reclaim the best of what we miss, how do we sort out what is worth carrying forward from what should be left behind? We cannot let the world go entirely back to the way it was. We must find new ways of being that honor all people, that meet needs, and offer opportunity for all. Ways of being that do not store up more for some at the expense of others. These are the divine requests we studied together as we worked through the entire Bible together in study this year. Proclaiming such things, I wonder if such a message would be well received. For it is a unique thing to carry such a message, to cry out in the wilderness of our world that God seeks change. For the comfortable do not like to hear such a message. The desensitized are not ready to encounter such truth. And the tired and worn worry they have nothing left to offer to the work. To step into this world and proclaim such a vision, well, you might as well be wearing camel hair and eating honey and locusts, because it is received about the same. As the advent of Christmas approaches, I think about the other baby discussed in the Christmas story. I mean, I totally understand why Jesus gets top billing, but we cannot overlook the other baby. We cannot overlook his cousin John. John and Jesus were only a few months different in age. Scripture tells us that when a newly pregnant Mary went to visit her also pregnant cousin Elizabeth, the baby inside Elizabeth leapt for joy. Now, the Gospel of Mark, from which our scripture comes today, does not contain a birth story for Jesus. It picks up right as his adult ministry begins. And it is here in the Gospel of Mark we find a now grown John, known for his baptizing, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. He is the voice that cries out, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." John isn't so much telling everyone that the world is going to end, but he was telling everyone the world as they knew it was going to change. And how he was received depended completely on how comfortable the listener was. Those who knew the brokenness of the world, they heard his proclamation with hope. Those who benefited from the status quo were not so eager to listen. In fact, they wrote him off. But we can't do anything about those who do not want to welcome God's vision. We have a divine call to challenge and change the systems of our world. But the hearts and minds of the people running those systems, they're a different story. Turns out, despite our best efforts and our loudest voices, we cannot change the hearts of other people. We can't change other people. We can't change other people. We can't change other people. And so as we approach Christmas yet again, I need to ask you, are you willing to do the work the one place you can? Are you willing to open your heart? Will you prepare yourself to receive God's vision, to take root in your life, to be a part of God's journey to a world of hope, acceptance, justice, and love? I, for one, would love to make that journey with you. Today, as we light the fourth candle on the Advent wreath, we are invited to consider joy. Now, we often associate joy with Jesus' birth, the excitement and happiness of a baby arriving in a manger. But today, I want to apply joy to a different part of our Christmas story. I want us to find joy with John, because I'm worried we're missing an opportunity. The work of preparing the way of the Lord is not easy. Lowering mountains, raising valleys, it is quite a metaphor, but it is deeply meaningful and life-giving work. In my list of favorite Christmas movies, you'll find old classics like White Christmas and It's a Wonderful Life. You'll find childhood favorites like Frosty and The Muppet Family Christmas Together. There's also one newer film that has made my short list of favorites. That's the movie Elf. The story of Buddy the Elf as he discovers who he really is, helping the hurt and healing brokenness in the lives of those around him. It reminds people that Christmas cheer is a real thing. Now, there is a moment where this former North Pole employee finds himself working at a department store when the announcement is made that Santa will be arriving the next day. Santa! Santa! I know him! Buddy the Elf begins a rogue project to get everything in that store ready. Hand making thousands of paper snowflakes, creating a jumbotron out of light brights, building Lego cities, adorning every possible surface with artificial snow and sparkles. No one understands his efforts. Some are even bothered by them. But Buddy puts himself fully into the work of preparing an anticipated arrival. And he does so with incredible joy, because his work means that the coming arrival will be ever more wonderful and much more meaningful, and will share the joy that he feels. That's John the Baptist's work. To proclaim with joy an invitation for others to prepare, to see the impact of our efforts in sharing the very hope, peace, love, and joy that we are preparing for. We prepare so others might know it as well. In the work to prepare for God's plan for the world, we already get to live and experience it. In our preparation, we do not have to wait to know what we are preparing for. This is the advent of joy, that we might, with the joy of a 6'2" elf, proclaim, Jesus, Jesus, I know him, and then go do the work to prepare the world for his arrival. See, joy to the world is not an ending. It's the feeling we have as we prepare for what God has in store.